to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. Looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello, hello. You've been busy today.
I have been. This is podcast slash show number three, I guess, for me today. We had some rescheduling from earlier in the week, plus a bonus patron episode from Angry Chicken. So, it turns out I somehow got people sick through the internet. So I'm glad that you didn't get sick. And I'm also very, very glad that Matt and I didn't come down that weekend because you did not want what I had, dude. It was so bad. Like, I was talking to Garrett today and I was like, you know what I did this weekend? I ate. That was a milestone. It's been a busy day. There's been some other sicknesses with other hosts and some rescheduling and stuff, but I am back. I am here. Hopefully good to go on normal scheduling from here on out.
Next week we'll be back to normal. This week, you know, you're just playing catch up. And yeah, I couldn't even fathom being sick last weekend, because I literally last night, like I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock every night for the last 5 days. I have not played any video games but a bit of 3DS and some Fire Emblem. We'll get to that. But it's just been so busy. Like, literally last night at 10 o'clock, I got the rec room set up. I'm in my rec room. I'm not even in an office. I don't even have an office right now in this house. I don't even have a finished bathroom. My bathroom is split between three levels. I have a toilet in the basement, a kitchen sink, and a bathtub. I had to bathe myself last night. It was like weird. I'm almost 30 and I'm bathing. I'm not talking about like soaking and relaxing.
Fun soaking bubble baths.
Yeah, I'm talking about, this is my shower. This is for the foreseeable future. This is how I'm getting clean. Yeah, but no, I my intention is to play some damn video games over the next couple weeks. Now that I have everything sort of situated. So it's not going to be a balancing act of how do I get these boxes out of the way in order to play video games. It's how do I have my consoles, they're behind me, they just have to be plugged in and good to go. But yeah, it's been busy.
Well, that's good. You need to get set up, because we're only a couple of weeks away now from the release of the Nintendo Switch and from the release of Breath of the Wild. So I know I'm really excited, and you better get your shit together, dude, because there's no way you can miss release day.
I can play that thing anywhere. That's the beauty of the Switch. And
That is true. But do you really want to play it on the little handheld? Don't you want to experience it on the big screen?
Oh, I do. That's why, I mean, like, if I weren't afraid to move the camera and mess this precarious house of cards, I would show you that the TV is set up. All I need to do is, like, set up the Switch and I'm good to go. I have my new couch set here. It's ready and comfy. And, like, the Switch, I did the math. We have like three episodes, including this one, left before the Switch comes out. You know, the two episodes after this, 2 days after, the Switch will be out, and then the week after that will basically be like Zelda.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna prepare everybody by talking about Zelda every week, because the 3DS was the only thing I was able to fish out in time for the show. So I even have my amiibos boxed up, and that's what I'm using to prop my laptop up. they finally do something, Jocelyn. They finally do something. That's a very expensive prop, but I don't know. Looks good.
That's good. So you've been playing, like you said, you've been playing some Zelda on the handheld. Are you really excited for Zelda? Like, are you playing on your handhelds and being like, yes, this is the best thing ever? Or are you like, oh, just give me the new one already?
I don't know. I've been thinking more about Breath of the Wild, and as we continue to put money into the release of Breath of the Wild, because it seems every week there's something new that I have to spend money on. I got my special edition, you know, a month before that we got our Switch pre-orders, and you know, just last week all the amiibos went on pre-order, and they all look fantastic, but for some reason they all cost $5 more than the previous amiibos.
Of course.
Yeah, like it's the new premium Canadian gaming tax, I guess.
Yeah.
Although for some reason this was the first time that Amazon Prime would actually apply to amiibos, something about them being physical DLC. So that was a nice bonus, even though loopholes, I'm all for them. but no, I was just thinking, like, what am I going to play? We were discussing before the show, like, is there anything coming out now each week that we can sink our teeth into and discuss on the show. And like, of course, there are video games coming out, but there's just really nothing that jumps out at either of us for that matter. Because like, I've been playing pretty much the same thing as I have last week, plus a little bit of Breath of the Wild inspiration. So I think each week before Breath of the Wild, I'm going to try a new handheld Zelda, only because when I came up with this idea, I didn't have any consoles set up. So I figured, hey, there's three of those, I'll play them. So I got a bit of Ocarina of Time in. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next, whether, you know, I want to do them in order or I want to do them in...
So what's the, you have Ocarina of Time and then obviously Link Between Worlds. What's your third Zelda title of choice on the 3DS?
Well, it'd be Majora's Mask, right? Like that would be the most recent one. And I think Majora's Mask is one of those that I remember talking about it on the show, saying that this was the Zelda game on 3DS that I actually want to beat, because it's been so long since I've played Majora's Mask, and I have played, maybe not start to finish, but I've at least started a campaign in Ocarina of Time many times. Each time it comes out, each time I purchase a new version from Nintendo, I'm trying it and playing it. But I don't think I quite get to finishing it, or even if I do, like, you've played that game so many times. Like, the Deku Tree dungeon at the very beginning is nearly, it's a perfect dungeon. Like, I don't know if you remember that dungeon, but it's perfect. It feels so good, like, doing every little thing in that dungeon. And I don't know. I really love Ocarina of Time, but maybe not as much as, you know, the diehard Zeldas do. Like, we come across this all the time when people talk about Zelda. They say Ocarina of Time is the best Zelda ever made. I don't know if you agree with that statement. Like,
I disagree. I think Majora's Mask is wonderful.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. Just be, you know, and I don't think Ocarina of Time is the best, but it certainly kicked off what I think are some of the best games ever made, right? The 3D Zeldas. But I'm super biased because I really love Zelda games. But Ocarina of Time feels very large in terms of what you're doing. Like, I did jump into a previous save that I haven't touched in 5 years. And it was like the Shadow Temple. So I was Adult Link. And I don't remember anything about that dungeon. You know, you have the Lens of Truth or whatever, and I just don't remember it.
You had to, like, use the Lens of Truth to, like, see or be able to damage. I can't remember one of the two of those. Some of the bad guys in there. So it was Ocarina of Time is really good. It's a great game. It's up there on my list of Zeldas. But Majora's Mask, I think, is just it's so good because the window to allow you to do things is so small because of the 3 day kind of storyline. And you have to be in specific places doing specific things at specific times, and you can't do everything in one 3 day playthrough. So I really think that it's a fantastic kind of puzzly game on top of a 3D explore the world type Zelda. So Majora's Mask just always wins for me. But I think that's a great idea, kind of playing some old Zeldas and getting back in. I want to go and finish my Twilight Princess playthrough on the Wii.
That's not bad. I dabbled with that, like, as we were packing. Ashley was watching TV, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to try Twilight Princess. And I was bored, so I didn't have anything else to do. So I grabbed my headphones, and I'm playing with this gamepad in my hand as I'm playing Twilight Princess. And this might have been a few weeks ago. And I don't remember getting very far in that either with the HD re-release. But it looked really good with what they did. What they were able to do with that GameCube version and up-res it for the Wii U, I think it looked pretty good.
It did, yeah. I think it looked great. And Twilight Princess is another one that ranks very highly for me. But I think my list of what I think are the best Zeldas is significantly different from a lot of other people's, because I don't rate Wind Waker as highly as other people do. Ooh. So.
Yeah. So wait, have we done this on the show before? Like, is that what we're doing?
I'm sure that we have. I'm sure we have. And I think that once we get a little bit of time into Breath of the Wild, considering it is so different from previous iterations of Zelda, I think we'll be able to do a better kind of top 10 Zelda list.
Yeah, gosh, there's at least 10 good ones that I'm sure I've played 10 Zeldas at this point. Like, you maybe less than 10, but I don't know. Like, there are a lot of 3D Zeldas that come out, and I for one really enjoy Ocarina of Time, but it's not my favorite. I would probably put Skyward Sword at the very end. It's still really good for me, but like,
oh, for a second I thought you were saying that Skyward Sword would be like your top, and I was Ryan, what? I'm hanging up on you. You are no longer qualified to be on the Gamers Inn. I am finding a new co-host.
Skyward Sword, I enjoyed it, and people know that if they've listened to this show from the very beginning. I enjoyed Skyward Sword, but I'm not a crazy person. That game has flaws, and those flaws are very clear. Like, we just did our, I think, 250th episode, and part of that episode was going back and playing that game. And having played a lot of those HD remakes, you can clearly see why they did not come back to Skyward Sword, because they would have to do a lot to fix that game. Not just the motion control, but like if they kept the motion control, they would still have to fix a lot about that game that was a problem. And the beauty of Ocarina of Time is that you find your sword, you find your shield, and then you're right into the first dungeon. And if you, for the amount of times I've played Ocarina of Time, I always forget where that damn sword is. Like, it's like hidden, like in this weird, like they say, oh, it's in the forest. So I'm like running around Lost Woods and like, oh, I remember, you have to listen to the music. And I'm like running around and I still can't find the sword. Then this giant wolf thing kills me. And I feel like such a noob for being this, you know, someone who's played this game so many times, like forgetting where the damn Kokiri sword is.
There's a lot of gameplay between finding your sword at the beginning and finishing the game. So if you've gone all the way through and finished it, by the time you get through and finish it, then I can understand how you forget the beginning. But we're getting dangerously close to doing a top 10 list of Zelda, so I am going to steer us back into back into the main meat of the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you're playing some Zelda. I'm going to try to get some more playtime in on Twilight Princess, just because that's one of my favorites, and we will probably talk a little bit more about that next week. Very quickly, I mean, I haven't played too much this week. We're going to talk about Fire Emblem Heroes in a second, because I did start in on that a little bit. But basically, all I've really been playing for the last week or so, because I didn't play anything when I was sick at all. Nothing. I couldn't even, like, I felt so terrible. I couldn't even, like, sit up at my computer and play Warcraft. I missed my raids. I missed, everything. I think
that's when you know Jocelyn's really sick.
Yeah.
She like calls in sick to raid. It's like, okay, I could see her calling in sick for a job to raid, but calling in sick to raid is like, oof. Feel better soon. I'm glad you're feeling better though, because you know I was listening to a few of your podcasts. Like, I caught your stream on Sunday when you were doing Get Nailed, and you seem to be a lot more I want to say with it, but like that seems
perkier.
You were streaming and that was a thing that you weren't doing when you were sick, so it's good you're feeling better.
I did play a teeny tiny bit of Warcraft. I've been playing a little bit every day, because right now it is the Love is in the Air event in Warcraft, which is you can get your if you're super 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 lucky your love rocket from the Crown Chemical Company. And what they did this year is made the holiday boss, you're able to queue into it from level 16. They put the same
scaling
software technology, whatever, in, so you can kind of queue in with any group and damage the boss as if it's at your level. So I was queuing all my characters into that, and no love rocket, but you know,
you'll get there.
I don't know. It's there are people who've been trying for 10 years on 30 characters and still no rocket. So, but I figured, you know, I can't get it if I don't try. So I'm trying.
I'm pretty sure around this time on Torrin Think Tank, it's like the weekly, has Markkonen got his love rocket yet? And
well, yes, because Markkonen is actually a mount collector. He's got 280 or something crazy like that. He's pushing 300 mounts, so it's one of the only ones that eludes him. But speaking of mounts, if just PSA, and I've done this on all the shows today, if anyone is actually a Warcraft player and has a character that is above level, I believe 98 is what you need to get into the Broken Isles. Obviously, you also need the Legion expansion. But if you meet those requirements, make sure you go to Dalaran and go to the Archaeology Trainer, which is kind of over where the auction house used to be in old Dalaran. If you talk to the archaeology trainer this week, she has a breadcrumb quest that will send you to High Mountain, and you need to collect 600 bones in order to craft a ghost moose mount. It's called the Spirit of Something. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's a ghost moose, and it looks pretty cool. So it's basically the same moose model as you get with the leatherworking moose. Mm-hmm. For your profession, but it's all see-through and blue and ghosty. So just PSA, if anyone's interested, you do have just this week to do it. And this is the first week since the expansion launched that this quest has actually been available. So it might be another 4 to 6 months before it pops up again. So if that's the kind of thing you're into, if you're a mount collector, then make sure that you go get your archaeology quest and head to High Mountain.
Is that one of those new micro events that they've been adding in that new 7.1.5 patch?
No, it's part of the stupid time gating bullshit that they added with archaeology. They did something different with each of the secondary professions this expansion. Fishing got an fishing pole. I was gonna say artifact weapon, but it's not really a weapon. Archaeology was time gated. Cooking has Nomi. I don't know if you've heard much about Nomi, but he's a Pandaren in Dalaran that you basically give ingredients to, and he gives you recipes, except he often fails and just burns all your food. So
I have heard about that meme. Yeah.
Yeah. And then first aid is kind of like questing. So every once in a while you'll be like out in the world and you'll get a quest that pops up saying, you know, can you locate and heal an adventurer who's gotten lost, sort of thing. And so you take field packs out with you and you do these quests and you level up that way. So archaeology, the only thing that they did was time gate it. So once a week you get one archaeology quest to go to one zone, and then when you complete the quest you get an item. And I think it's a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. You can literally go have a character that's never done any archaeology and you can get them out if you go and do it this week. So there's basically no reason to do archaeology whatsoever.
Ouch.
It's so dumb.
Take that, archaeology.
Archaeology?
Hey, that sounds way better than archaeology. Take that, archaeology lovers. Archaeology.
I used to love doing it. It was something that was very steeped in Warcraft lore, because every new artifact that you created, you know, had this little story. Some of them were toys. So, like, one of them from the dwarven stuff was, like, you witnessed... spectral dance of Dance of the Three Kings or something like that. And so there's all these little dwarfs that from the different dwarf factions that do this little dance in front of you. Like, it was super cool stuff like that. And in Legion they've just gutted it and time gated it at the same time. So it's they made some very poor archaeology decisions, but there is a mount, so go and have a mount. Everyone.
Hey, you know, we screwed up archaeology, but here's a free mount for everybody.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, free. It does take about 3 to 4 hours of grinding. But
oh my gosh, that's not a win at all. Like, is it fun? Like, you say grinding,
well,
and that
doesn't
sound
fun. Well, it's archaeology, right? Okay. So you have to do the little survey point, and you have to like try to figure out where to dig, and then you have to dig, and then you get a certain number of bones.
Yeah.
Depends if you think that's fun or not.
Well, okay. I shouldn't say, like, it doesn't sound like fun, but the reward sounds cool.
Yeah, the reward is really cool. I've seen some people riding around on it, and it does look really neat in-game. Okay. So,
we have a week to grind 600 bones. That sounds hard.
Yeah, you could do half an hour to an hour each day.
I guess.
And you could go and get it done. So
listen to the Gamers Inn. Although you don't want to hear us talk about you grinding bones while grinding bones. That just make it worse.
Boneception?
Boneception, yeah. We're not naming that the episode because we're just going to get a weird Google result again.
Yeah, no.
It's not happening.
So other than the little bits of Warcraft that I played and the little bits of Hearthstone that I played, I also did try Fire Emblem Heroes.
Good.
So it's interesting, kind of cool, but it's very much one of those, like, it seems to be one of those min-maxi games. I haven't gotten to the point where I've actually done significant combat, I guess. Like, I'm still very much in the first few phases.
Sure.
And it seems like it could be kind of okay, but when I say min-maxing, I mean, like, I'm sure at some point, I think I've unlocked, like, 4 heroes or something, and so I think at some point I'll probably unlock more and then have to decide on what the best team is, and then the actual, like, combat gameplay sort of thing was neat. Like, I like mm-hmm. the tactician part of, like, deciding where your different dudes should stand and who should fight who, because it's basically, like, rock, paper, scissors sort of thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. One color, because there's green and blue and red, right? So one yeah. color does more damage to another color, but takes more damage from the third color. So it's like rock, paper, scissors, basically.
It is, yeah. It's basically rock, paper, scissors with a couple added elements. Like, you know, there's also resistance. So you'll have heavily armored units, but they have a low resistance. So you're going to want to use magic against them. And that's something you'll come across later on in the game that you'll have your, like...
I don't think any of my dudes are magic. I think I have, like, axe girl, sword guy, arrow guy, and pole chick. Yeah, Lance chick.
Pole
yeah.
chick. Lance. Pole chick is just very different. Very different thing. This is a game for all
she
ages.
She dances to distract people. That's what
you her joke. Talent. There are dancing units in Fire Emblem that...
are there?
Yeah, basically they have a really weak sword attack, but they can act as a support unit to make a character have a second turn. Within your player phase, which is actually pretty good. If you have a very strong unit, you pair those two, and you basically got your unit swinging across the map twice.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it. It is another very Japanese. On. Yes, I am very early on. It's another very Japanese title, and some of the translations I found a little bit funny in some of their like dialogue and stuff, and it's just. Some things, like I'm watching these little cut scenes. They're basically like it shows a picture and a dialogue box below it, and then it shows a picture of another character and a dialogue box below them. So they're not really cut scenes, but they're definitely conversations. And I mean, some of them, it's just like, oh, there is a mystery man. Mystery man shows up, and it just says dot 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 under his portrait, and then and he's gone. How mysterious! Like, okay.
Yeah, I will give you. So I will give. I want to warn folks. Like Fire Emblem Heroes is definitely a primer for the franchise. The franchise is never. It has always had a very mature story. Like there's war going on in the main game. So it's a mature-ish story. There are still quirky characters that show up and like, oh, I steal candy. That's my thing. It's weird, but it's what I do. But those are always side plots to the main game, which is like warring factions, just really dark shit. But in this iOS title, they don't take it very seriously. And there are moments like you described that for me as a longtime fan of the franchise is like, oh, I hope people don't think Fire Emblem is just always very silly. It is silly, don't get me wrong, but there are moments of very seriousness, and this game does not have that.
It didn't come across anyway. The tone of the game feels very like light and fluffy, and I mean like a lot of the characters, like there's a lot of like sparkly stuff happening. There's a lot of like weird kind of jokey dialogue and stuff, and it wasn't necessarily what I was expecting. But I think I like the overall story, at least from what I've seen right now. Like so far, which is basically that there's like these two factions, one that used to open gates and one that used to close the gates, and neither one can kind of do the thing that the other one does. So it's very much like a yin and yang thing, and the gates go to these other worlds where all these heroes live, and one faction's now gone bad and refuses to ever close the gates and are right. conquering other worlds, and so you're part of the resistance and you're one of these like mysterious heroes, or not mysterious, mythological, I guess is the word. Like the hero who was foretold.
Yeah, and the tactician.
So, yeah, the tactician. So it's really, really interesting, and I like the idea of having, you know, this the two warring factions and all these other worlds that you're gonna get to travel to, and it's interesting, and there seems to be a little bit of like complex potential story slash political things, because I mentioned the mystery man, he comes back again later and, you know, tells you a little bit, like basically says, oh, well, what would you have them do? Like he basically doesn't choose a side and just says, well, what are we supposed to do? Just close all the gates? Like, blah, 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 I'm the mystery man. And then he runs away again. And so it seems like there's even more than just the two sides to it, which I find often, you know, video games tend to just be like a good and an evil, like a one side. It seems like there's a little bit more to it, which I find interesting. But it's turn-based combat, with the exception of the South Park game, only because I absolutely love South Park and I find the stuff that they do just hilarious. So I stuck with it. But like, turn-based tactical min-maxy combat like this is not really my jam, I guess.
Hearthstone's that, like, it's turn-based.
But
you're talking more tactical. Like I can see where you're. I may just be like poking holes in it, but I can see your point. Like they're very different games. Like, but
it's the kind of thing where, you know, you have a team and the enemies are a team, and then like one of your dudes goes, it's very much I guess maybe like D&D, where there's like an initiative order, and then, you know, like you choose who to attack with what ability, and then all the stuff happens. Those games tend to not hold my attention as much as, you know, say like real-time strategy stuff, or, you know, anything else really. But except for South Park was exactly like that, and I stuck with that. But I stuck with that because I really liked the underlying source material, I guess you could call it, and where I'm not invested in Fire Emblem at all. I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for me to stick with this, but that's not necessarily saying anything against the mobile title. It's just not my favorite type of game. So I don't know. We'll have to see. I think I'll probably poke around at it a little bit more, because I have been missing a kind of mobile game in my life lately, because I was playing so much of that Sailor Moon, and it's so much like I just need something that's like, you know, get a couple rounds in before bed or something like that. And I don't have that right now. And Super Mario Run was another one that didn't really stick with me very long. I kind of got to the point where I finished all the levels and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Like, I didn't even do like collecting all the stars or anything. I was just like, okay, I get all the way to the end. I've seen all the levels now. That's enough for me. Just because I didn't like not being able to control my movement.
Right.
So I went away from that quite quickly. So I don't know. Maybe I just need to give Fire Emblem some more time, because admittedly, I am not very far in it, but it's also not my favorite type of game. So
yeah. And this is the this is something we discussed last week. But like, the game is Nintendo's free-to-play offering. Like, if people thought that Nintendo was only going to offer the free to start, like, this is a clear example of them trying every different avenue to see what sticks. And Fire Emblem Heroes has been doing quite well. There hasn't been solid numbers, but, you know, the reach and the sort of engagement on social media, like, people are going pretty crazy for this game, and they're adding new content. Like, we just got new focus heroes, like the way you summon, they've refreshed that, and they're going to refresh it every 2 weeks and add new story chapters that'll be available during that 2 week period. So they're constantly adding to it. I'm at the point in the game where I've been playing for 2 weeks now, which is crazy to think that it's been out for 2 weeks, but I've been playing it for 2 weeks, and I've hit that point where I have to grind my characters to a certain level in order to continue the story. So I'm not playing as often as I was before, because I go in, do a couple matches in the training, do whatever. They add new maps each week to celebrate the launch, and they add they refresh the arena every day, and they refresh the character challenge that you can do to get new. You can do a challenge map to earn a new character. So each day I'll go in and do that, maybe, you know, grind a few levels on some of my on my favorite team to kind of get them a bit higher. But I'm kind of at that point where, you know, orbs are coming in here and there, and I'm just not playing it as often as I was before. But like, during the first 2 weeks, like, you can go pretty hardcore into the game like right away, but it's easy to get burnt out on it, because eventually you hit this, not a wall, but just a plateau of content that you can enjoy. And it's like any free-to-play game. Like, you hit a, or any game you play, you hit a wall where you've done all the content that's in the game, and you just have the end game. And people mm-hmm. are saying that the end game isn't quite fleshed out as much as you want. Like, the arena is slow. You only get 3 shots, and then you have to replenish your arena swords, which 3 a day sounds like, you know, you have an energy system, yet you have a separate energy, a separate, like, you know, slot or whatever for arena attempts. So it's kind of weird. You would kind of expect it to be like, well, let me refresh my arena attempts with my stamina, right? Why is mm-hmm. that two different things? I don't really.
So you get 3 attempts per day in the end game.
Well, in the arena.
Can you pay to refresh that?
You can use a currency that's in the game. The only thing, as far as I know, that you can buy in game with real money is the orbs that you use to summon additional heroes. The swords, I think they're called dueling crests. Those you earn by doing quests. You can actually buy them with the My Nintendo points that you're earning by completing quests in the app. So there's different ways you can do it. Like, I'm by no means saying that I don't have any dueling crests that I can't spend. I do have some. I am not swimming in dueling crests, but I do have quite a few that I could use to continue my arena time. But I don't find it as interesting as, you know, you're facing AI of real players. So you're facing real players' teams, but you're not, it's just AI. You're not actually facing someone. Like, I can't challenge you with my team and have a asynchronous game where you do your turn and then I get a notification. Like Hero Academy. Wouldn't that be great if you and I could challenge each other and then it would say...
Which is really funny because I used to freaking love Hero Academy. Exactly. I had forgotten that that was even a game, but I think you're right. It's different because it's like, I was playing against you, not a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, so...
And you would have, man, like...
should start Hero Academy again.
Is that still a thing? I remember that was huge. Remember, like...
It was so big. I remember playing that for months.
And you remember they'd add a team, and it was like the Toonie win button. Like, you'd buy the new team, and you were like OP because everyone had the humans, and you're like, oh, I have the trolls. Yeah. Watch out.
I think it was, yeah, was it elves or something? I can't remember.
The dark elves.
Yeah, the dark elves, yeah.
It was the dwarves. It was a long time. And they kept adding teams, and it was a lot of fun. And
it came out on Steam. Man, we should we should play some of that because I know I have it on Steam for sure, even if I don't still have it on my phone.
But you'd have many, many games going at a certain point, and you'd like mm-hmm. get notifications like Jocelyn took her turn, you know, Chad took his turn, whatever, and it would just go on and on and on. And I feel like that would be a solid addition to Fire Emblem Heroes to be able to have that asynchronous battle mode. And that's not mm-hmm. to say they aren't looking to add it. Like, Nintendo's listening to, you know, to the players. Like, they put out an update saying that they're gonna do some things that players want, like keeping some of the extending the launch bonus where they're giving you 2 orbs a day, adding more rewards to more modes so you're earning more for what you're doing, and allowing your heroes to gain XP by defeating lower level enemies. Like, you would have a level 20 character, and if he killed a level 18, he would get 0 XP. But that level difference is just so similar that, like, why would you penalize players for, you know, having just a little bit more of an edge? So they're listening, and you know, there is actually a mode on the map that is blurred out and says ?? So maybe that's something they're adding. I don't know. There hasn't been anything said, but they are looking to add more modes to the game. So, I mean, this game seems to have more legs than Super Mario Run, because Super Mario Run was kind of a one and done. Here's the levels, here's the modes, mm-hmm. have fun. Fire Emblem Heroes seems like it could be a game that could continue to evolve as long as the players are still supporting it, right? And we discussed this last week, but, like, don't buy orbs. They are just grossly overpriced. Like, to do a summon, you need a full summon, you need 20 orbs, and like 20 orbs costs like $20.
Jeez.
It's pretty expensive. And I think Ventigo last week had said he did purchase orbs because, like, you know, if you enjoy the game, support it. But, like,
yeah, fair enough.
Support it, yeah. But I would not see myself, and Ventigo agreed, like, see myself buying more than one chunk of orbs. You know, so as a okay,
well, it's basically like, you know, paying Nintendo $20 for a game when you're enjoying it, which I completely understand and say, yeah, absolutely, if you have the money and you enjoy the game, support the creator 100%. Obviously, as a creator myself, I am on team pay for what you consume. But
I'm not telling people not, just because it's free to play doesn't mean people developers are not making the game. Like, if something's free to play, that doesn't mean it's just a, you know, Nintendo hit a button and then it's like, okay, this now prints checks, we're
the
good.
Make game button.
There's yeah, make game button, make game button, free to play, send me monies now. And you know, I once I've played a free to play game for a while, this, you know, maybe, you know, a couple weeks, you know, to a month, and I'm really enjoying it, I can see that this having legs in my game time, then yeah, I'll support it. But it does seem pretty steep, like a full summoning round of summoning all five orbs or whatever. Did you do any summons yet, or is this Latin to you?
It's a little bit past where I am. Okay. So far, I've just, I guess I accidentally summoned someone because I touched the magic weapon and then a hero popped out.
Okay. In the story, you like rubbed the magic lamp and then a hero came out, is what you're saying.
Okay, basically, yes.
Okay, so eventually you will have the opportunity to use orbs to summon heroes.
I had quests popping up saying I was earning orbs, but I didn't actually know what they were for. So I've just kind of like stumbled upon my heroes so far in the story. So I've got like, I guess, the four basic ones to fill out a team, and I'm fighting against my first like big bad guy enemy, I guess.
So you'll get there where you'll start summoning and earning orbs. And I think in the initial sort of play, it's very easy to build up a certain, like a good amount of orbs to do a full summon. And it's 20 orbs to do a full summon. So it's five to start. And then you pick an orb, and the orb is, the color depends on what hero you're going to get. So if you're trying to get a sword character because you don't like the sword character you have, you would unlock those red orbs first and then work your way down. And yeah, so every time you get 20 orbs, that's a good chance to go in there and be like, okay, if I get a good pull, I want to unlock all of them, because the more you unlock, the less orbs you spend. And yeah, I think it's just a matter of waiting until like a proper focus comes up. Like the heroes they just added this week are like from a game that I've never played, and one of them's from a game that only came out in Japan. So that's the other thing with this game. There's a lot of characters in it that you might not recognize, even if you're a hardcore Fire Emblem fan. And even if you aren't a hardcore Fire Emblem fan, like, you're going to notice Marth, Roy, and Ike from Smash Brothers, and maybe a couple of others if you've played the more recent Smash.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I've played Smash Brothers, so I would probably recognize a couple from there, but I wouldn't, and I think that's why maybe this would be a good game for me, is because normally I am so, so bad at, like, please, yes, give me the skins, give me the custom everything, and, like, take my dollars because blah, blah, blah. So the fact that I have no idea who any of these characters are, I think, is probably going to work in my wallet's favor, because I won't really care who my dudes are as long as they're, you know, doing what I need them to do. So I won't be tempted to spend money because I don't know any of the characters anyway. But
yeah, I mean, I think at this point, like, I'm only tempted to spend money because I want to support Nintendo in their efforts to make these types of, like, it's a good free-to-play game based on a franchise that I really love. And you know, the fact that they've done this so well, and I've played a lot of free-to-play games, and this one's pretty generous in terms of the way it's set up. Like, I never play long enough that the stamina runs out, and even if it does, I have a bunch of potions that I can just use, and those potions don't just like replenish 10, they replenish the whole thing plus over for whatever you had above zero. So that works a lot in your favor as well. It's very generous. The only thing is that the orbs, as you continue to play, are dealt out in just these little like droplets. You know, you'll get two a day and maybe a couple from quests, but other than that, you're running dry on those orbs, and then you do feel like you want to spend money. But yeah, I don't know, they're constantly adding to it, so even if you feel like it is a little dry with those orbs getting doled out, you can kind of, you know, rest assured that they're going to be adding new ways to get those orbs as it continues. But the game is very early on in its life cycle. It's only been 2 weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see where they take it, and interesting to see how Nintendo supports a game that needs to be supported like a free-to-play game. Like, constant updates, keep those players hooked, always adding new stuff, weekly, if not, you know, bi-weekly, like every once in a while. We need to see that for sure.
Well, we have seen Nintendo do that with one title we're going to talk about in a second. But before we move on to our odds and ends this week, we are going to thank our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/thegamersin. If you like the show and want to support us, please do so by heading over to Patreon. We have a new $50 goal. We're going to actually make all the updates to the website later on in the week. But our new $50 goal is going to be game night once a month. So we're going to have a whole bunch of revamped goals. We're basically getting rid of the patron hangouts in kind of in exchange for
we're retiring. We're not getting rid of it. We're retiring.
We're getting rid of it.
Okay.
In exchange for doing game night once a month. So we are going to be doing game night next week. So please do join us. As always, our patrons get first choice of spots to come and play games on stream with Ryan and I. We're really looking forward to it. So please do join us. You can also join in on our conversations on Discord. We are over at bit.ly/TGI Discord. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is basically just news, odds, and ends. There's not too much going on. This is actually a fully Nintendo, except for the little wow aside that I did earlier, but this is a fully Nintendo episode. You can tell that Ryan had a very heavy hand in this one.
It's been like this for months. Like, let's be honest. Like, there's not been a lot going on, and Nintendo, who is launching a console in less than 3 weeks, seems to be the only newsmaker. So
they have been quite vocal. But so the first thing is kind of a little bit of news that made me literally grr, and that is that Breath of the Wild is going to have an expansion DLC pass.
Okay, explain your emotions. Don't just growl and move on. I want to let's talk this through.
Fine.
No, I want to know exactly why you're upset, because I want to compare it to the rest of the internet and see.
It's because I am used to paying a set amount of money for my Zelda experience. I don't want it to have DLC. I don't want it to have any kind of expansion passes and stuff. I want my Zelda experience to, I guess, be fully contained in the like $120 Zelda that I'm purchasing to begin with.
Okay.
I want it to be fully a fully contained experience. Like, I don't play Nintendo for DLC. Like, I play Nintendo for the experiences that they give me. Like, I expect DLC now out of games like, I don't know, the Heroes of the Storm or something. Right. Something where it's like constant updates to a game and it's like an evolving ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I don't like DLC on things like even single player games like Mass Effect and stuff. I wish they would just give me the freaking game. Mm-hmm. So up until now, Nintendo has been like the holdout, right? And so, and I guess I haven't played too many Nintendo titles. Because I wasn't a Wii U adopter. Mm-hmm. So I haven't played too many Nintendo titles in a while since I was buying stuff on the Wii. And so, you know, maybe I'm totally off base here. But I mean, I saw this news and I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I just bought your overpriced console. Then I bought your overpriced release date Zelda. And now you want me to give you more money? F you, Nintendo.
Okay. So That's a valid opinion that a lot of people have. Some people are burning down the internet a little quicker than you are, but it's so a couple things to note here. The cost of the expansion pass, I just want to throw that out there as a gold star to Nintendo. It's $20 American, but that is a fraction of what most of these season pass costs. And they sort of outline, this is kind of a good thing and a bad thing. They've outlined exactly what you're getting in the season pass, but I don't think additional map feature really sells me on this DLC. I don't know what that is. There's no way of telling. Like, new hard mode, that could be interesting in the sense that usually hard mode for Zelda games has been, I don't know, you take more damage and there's no rupees or hearts in when you cut shit down. So that's interesting. Like, But the biggest part of this is that there's a new original story that they're adding here, and this is unheard of for a Zelda game. But I don't think we should be surprised these days when a company leverages the fact that they can sell DLC to owners of their new games. Like,
well, and I think the other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think the other thing that really kind of tweaks me the wrong way, because you kind of hit the nail on the head there with just the content, is you can't, like, with other seasoned passes, you can still buy individual pieces of DLC, but mm-hmm. the seasons pass, if you buy the seasons pass, it gives you a discounted price. Usually not a huge discount, but, you know, it might be $10 and there's three pieces of DLC, and if you buy the season's pass, you get it for $25 instead of $30. Like, there's a small amount of savings there if you basically commit to buy all of the DLC for the game. Mm-hmm. But what Nintendo has done is basically kind of flipped that on its head and said, we're not letting you buy individual pieces. It's either all of it or none of it. So you get, like, the Nintendo Switch shirt for Link, and you get this, you know, hard mode, and, you know, like, all this other stupid crap, when really the only thing that people are going to want mm-hmm. is they're going to want this extra Zelda story. And I'm like, how big can that extra Zelda story be? Why isn't it just in the base game?
Yeah, and, well, it's not in the base game because, theoretically, they have not started development on it yet. Like, that is the way, and again, you have to kind of have faith in these companies when they sell you DLC.
No.
And this is the thing, you're jumping to conclusions, as a lot of people are, as am I, like, because we just do not know. When a company announces DLC, like Mass Effect 3 is a egregious example of not necessarily selling DLC that was cut from, that was finished and held back from launch to sell piecemeal. It was content that was cut, finished, and then released. A lot of those DLC packs were Omega and
there Leviathan? Was
another, yeah, Leviathan, both of which, you know, were proven to be cut from the game in an unfinished state, finished, and then sold. With this case, and there's been a lot of look into this, quotes, and there's nothing, you know, set in stone here, but the way Nintendo has always looked at DLC in the past is basically, like with Mario Kart, they announce it around launch, and then they say it'll be coming 6 months from now because we have to actually build it. We have to make it, you know? And when you look at the stuff they're announcing here, you know, the key huge stuff isn't coming out till holiday 2017, which is like 9 months after launch. So to me, that kind of shows that this stuff isn't being cut from the game and put in at a price. But you're right. The fact that they're charging $20 and that's the only way you can get this content is kind of weird, because normally the way companies sell DLC is that they'll say, okay, you can buy it piecemeal, or if you buy the pass, you'll get the bonus. Mm-hmm. And they have the bonus here, but it just seems oddly like all in, like no option, right?
Yeah.
It seems weird. And for this being a first for a Zelda game, like, I don't think we should condemn Nintendo. Nintendo, thank you, for, you know, doing something that every company is doing. Like, just because Nintendo hasn't done this before with a franchise doesn't mean it should be instantly pitchforks and torches, right? Like, we got to see how it'll work. And this is completely optional. You can wait until you see what the hell the Cave of Trials challenge is. I don't know about you, but I've never played a Zelda game in hard mode for very long. I usually play it once and be like, cool. And when I come back to it, I'm usually just playing it again. You know, I don't mm-hmm. really explore the hard mode. So am I going to buy the expansion pass on day one? Like, probably not, because I don't need the bonus useful items. Like, it doesn't even tell you what those useful... The only thing they've confirmed is that you're going to get a Switch t-shirt for Link. And I'm sorry, yeah, but I do not want Link running around with a Switch logo on. That's too weird
either
for me. And I don't know. I think the game is going to be big enough on its own. And the wording that they've used that I find very interesting is that they're saying this is a big game, and to encourage people to explore it more throughout the year, we want to add more content to it as you continue to play the game. So with that sort of thought process that sounds a lot like your example of Heroes of the Storm, where they are constantly adding to that game and you're paying $10 a character to continuously enjoy that game with new content. So we shouldn't be surprised. It you know, the only thing that really came out at me was like, if you're buying this on Wii U, now you have to have your Wii U hooked up for another year. Like, that's kind of got to get, I was going to tweet that, but I realized that that just might sound a little weird, but it's interesting that if you want to play all of Breath of the Wild, which if you've been waiting for 5 years, you want to play it, you're going to have your Wii U hooked up for a whole year. So at this point, you might as well just get it on Switch. Because
yeah, because having one console plugged in is worth $400 to Ryan, just the convenience.
No, it's just more like having a reason
to... All right, 1%, just cool your boots.
I mean, it's more or less like if you are convinced you're going to want to play this game for a whole year and you want to jump in on the other games. But yes, that's the exact reason I didn't tweet it. Because like, okay, this is going to come off as someone who doesn't feel like switching HDMI cables every once in a while. And I did that with The Last of Us. Like, I boxed up my PS3 and then they had DLC that came out like 9 months later. And it's like, all right, let's get this thing back out. You know, so, but no, I
boo-hoo.
Yeah, I know. It's just a terrible world. But Jocelyn, when everything is in boxes, it becomes a real problem. But, this may sound like I'm defending it, but like, I don't know how I feel when I first read about this. It's like, I don't know. Can't we just play the main game first and then announce? Why do they always have to do this prior to launch? Can't they wait like a month and be like, well, we know why they do, because they don't want you to trade in your game, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, I wish companies would wait. I don't like seeing Nintendo, like, stoop to this business model, but, I mean, I don't blame them. It works, I guess. Does it work? I don't know. I really don't know.
But the other Nintendo story we have for you this week is, as we alluded to earlier, the little bit of support that their other free-to-play mobile app is getting, although obviously it's not actually made by Nintendo. But anyways, Pokemon Go is getting 80 new Pokemon this week.
Mm-hmm.
From, I guess, is it second generation? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I guess second generation, so the Johto Pokemon from Pokemon Silver and Gold. So it's like, you know, these seeing these models are bringing back some memories. So you got like, you know, the weird thing, the weird green thing with a leaf coming out of his head, and then you got the the thing that looks kind of like Squirtle, but like if Squirtle like crossed with an alligator, and then you got the chinchilla with the fire coming out of his back. But Yeah,
so these Pokemon are not Pokemon that I'm familiar with. I'm familiar with, like, the original ones, so...
Yeah.
But I'm still excited that there's actually more content. Unfortunately, it's not really coming with any sort of updates to actual functionality in the app. It's basically just giving you another reason to go out and collect. But still, I think, you know, it's as good a reason as any to get back into the game.
Yeah.
We played around with it a little bit at some points kind of over the Christmas holidays, and it is what it is. I think that the functionality around tracking Pokemon has gotten a little bit better, but it's still, I find, like, there are probably half the Pokemon that I've never even encountered, and that was kind of the sticking point for me, is I was just like, okay, I don't actually know how to fill out my collection from here on out. It seems like every Pokemon I'm discovering is something I've already seen before, and there's no way to tell, like, oh, I should, you know, drive an hour down the road, go see my parents, because there's a, I don't know, I can't even think of a name of a Pokemon I don't have yet, but, you know, there's, you know, one of them up near my parents or something. So I think that there's still an element of collection that you it's more difficult in Pokemon Go than other Pokemon. Like, you used to know what regions or at least locations and terrain types where you had to go to try to fill out your collection. And I feel like Pokemon Go is missing that. So now you have 80 more reasons to try and get out there and find stuff. And those, I think, are being patched in. Is it next week or this week?
They're saying this week, and they're saying there's other, like, berries that you can get. So they're...
Oh, right. I forgot about the berries.
So I don't know, like, Pinap. So they're saying, these names. The Nanab berry will slow Pokemon down, so it's less likely they'll run away. And the Pinap which sounds way too close to pin-up, but the pin-app berries will help players collect twice as many candy upon a successful catch. That's actually, from what I remember playing, like, candy was a big deal, so using the pin-up berries, that's pretty good for many reasons. But this makes me want to jump back in to kind of play around with it, because I enjoyed what I played of Pokemon Go, but I think you're right. Like, if the core gameplay loop is the exact same, you're just catching more Pokemon. I never really caught a lot of Pokemon to begin with, so...
Yeah. Well, and it is. The core gameplay is the same. They haven't added any kind of changes to the combat, which I think was the number one thing people were asking for, so it didn't feel so much like just a, you know, frantic tapping on your screen. Like, it felt a little bit more like traditional Pokemon, which is the turn-based stuff, right? You know, you pick your ability, your opponent picks their ability, and then whap, whap, things happen. Versus this one, which was more of like a real-time... How fast can I tap to attack? And so the combat left something to be desired, and there also is no way to challenge your friends. So until they add those functionalities, I think it's going to be difficult to pull people back into Pokemon.
Yeah, they still don't have the actual battle system. I really don't get that, considering that the game uses your data connection so feverishly. Why wouldn't you make it a... Just, yeah, like, make it Pokemon. Like, why do you need it to be this weird pinwheel thing? I don't know. But, yeah, still not able to trade with friends. Like, that's
although
like a
they
tenet.
Do say it is coming soon, TM, but no actual dates on that. But it's one of the things that they're actively working on, so hopefully we'll see it soon, which would help with the collection problem. But I would still, I mean, the whole point of the app is to, you know, get outside and go. So I would rather get outside and go and explore and find Pokemon, which I haven't been able to do. Like, well, I've been able to go out and find Pokemon, but then the ones I'm finding are the same ones over and over and over and over and over. So I feel like just maybe my region in Ontario only has like 50 Pokemon in it. Right. I don't know. And this is the thing. I don't know. It would be so much better if you could say, like, Ontario is a grassland, so therefore you get grass type Pokemon. If you want water Pokemon, go to Lake Ontario or the ocean. Like, you know, it just, there's, I wish there was some way to like delineate different areas on your maps or something to help you narrow down your hunting area, hunting grounds.
Yeah, well, I haven't played in a very long time, and I should jump back in, because I love Pokemon, and I don't remember a whole lot about that generation of Pokemon. I know, obviously, I recognize the starter Pokemon, but you never get the starting Pokemon right away. Like, finding a Squirtle. I don't think I even found some of the starter Pokemon. I don't even have a Pikachu for...
Oh, really? No. Oh, I do. No, I have a Pikachu with a Santa hat.
Oh, see, I didn't get that. And that's the other thing, is they're slowly, like, adding weird events. They had a Valentine's event where you were more likely to catch pink Pokemon. I don't know. The concept of catching Pokemon via your phone is such a cool idea, and I really like the core concept of it. But that game to me felt even less likely to get some of my money than many other free to play games. Like, I don't even, what could you buy? Like, you could buy
lures, and you could buy incense, which basically brought the Pokemon to you. And you could buy Pokeballs, I think, maybe. But like, lures and incense were the two kind of big ticket items.
Okay. Yeah. It's good that they're adding more Pokemon, but it's weird to think that the game came out in July, August. No, like, it was like, when was
I think it came out in June for, I think, the US, and then it was kind of a staggered release in other countries, and that went through the first few weeks of July.
So, yeah, like, if it came out in July, and this is the first, like, huge update towards the Pokemon database that you can catch, like, that's a long turnaround time. I know, like, 80 is a lot of characters to model and stuff, but, like, man, that's like 8 months. That's a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time. People were hoping that they were going to add the second generation back in kind of September, October. And I think if they had done this update back in September or October, then you probably would have seen people continue on with the game. But now it's more of a situation where they're trying to bring people back as opposed to continue their user base and continue their, I guess, monthly active users or however they measure it. So it's not the greatest. But they also launched an app that didn't have the core functionality and didn't have the server support that it should have. So then they spent their time developing their systems instead of developing their content. And that's, I think, where people started to fall off, is it didn't do everything that they needed it to do. So even more Pokemon in September wouldn't probably have made more people play the game, because there were like core issues with the app itself. So
yeah. And I had actually said on the show that I thought they added the second generation, but as Dud75 is saying, they added like the babies from the second gen, like kind of partway through, like I think it was like late last year. And I thought that was them adding the second generation, but I don't even think they've added the entire second generation, or they're going to add the entire second generation this week. Like 80 is not the amount. Like usually they'll have like a new 100 to 150 Pokemon each game. So, you know, 80 is probably is a stellar number, but they got to have a quicker turnaround time getting more Pokemon in there.
I agree. So I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, and our new Warcraft podcast, For Azeroth. Please do go check those out. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know if you're looking forward to the new Zelda on the Nintendo Switch, please do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.